Well, they're really almost too numerous. This can be many books.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what would I say? Well, I know one really big field was the Fourier spectrometry, which I mentioned to you before.
Mm-hmm.
I got to appreciate that when I met some shortly after the FFT came out. I had visitors from France who flew all the way over here to find out about this.
Mm-hmm.
One was the Jeanine Kahns, who was head of the computing lab at the University of Paris. Her husband was Pierre Kahns, one of the very important astrophysicist,
mm-hmm.
who was mapping the atmospheric. He was studying the atmospheric composition of all the planets. And the method was to take the measurement of the infrared, put it through a spectrometer, which is like the old, Michelson-Morley experiment.
Mm-hmm.
You split it apart, bring the light beams together, and you get interference pattern.
Right.
And as you remember from school, you could determine the frequency by counting the peaks of the reinforcement pattern. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But the important idea here was, instead of just counting the peaks in their separation, this pattern can get very complicated. So you do its Fourier transform.
Mm-hmm.
So this is actually a correlation function.
Mm-hmm.
And you do the Fourier transform just the same way I mentioned the covariance functions in statistics. You do the Fourier transform and you can get the spectrum
mm-hmm.
of the reflected light from the planet. And that spectrum will have peaks, a peak for each diatomic molecule. Each one has a certain vibrational frequencies forming a peak in the electromagnetic spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I gave us some programs and described the methods. They went back and reprogrammed their calculations, and they produced a huge book, which is now in a little display case upstairs,
mm-hmm.
with the spectra of all of the planets.
Mm-hmm.
They invited me to a conference in, oh my goodness, how can I forget, in Austria.
Mm-hmm.
And the conference was on Fourier spectroscopy. And there they had a lot of talks about it, about applications, and a big display, manufacturer's display of all these different machines.
Mm-hmm.
And all these machines did Fourier, did studies of emission spectra. Well, they were, the purpose of the machine was this. You put a specimen of something. It could be a physicist, could be the police or anything. Mm-hmm. And we'll put a specimen in here, and produce an emission spectrum. And the thing is, calculates the spectrum, compares it with templates, and determines what's in that little mm-hmm. specimen they have.
Mm-hmm.
So they had people from all different careers and all different types of work talking about it and looking at these machines for several days. The occasion was of this conference was celebrating Michelson-Morley and their experiment and their interferometer. The three things. The third thing they were celebrating was the discovery that you could use the FFT
mm-hmm.
on the interference spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And all these machines had one thing in common. They all had an FFT built into them
mm-hmm.
to do an FFT on the interference pattern produced by the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very large machines, big as an automobile, and some were small enough to carry in the Volkswagen,
right.
like a desktop copying machine.
Mm-hmm.
And they did the thing to all different extent, but as I say, everyone had a Fourier transform in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really impressed how far. So that's a really big area, and it covers many, 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 many applications.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk about your involvement on the DSP? The Digital Signal Processing Committee.
Well, there was one last part of the history.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, we can get to that.
Yeah.
But the other was later on.
Mm-hmm.
I've written several little papers on history, but then I had to write another one.
Mm-hmm.
The fact was that Gauss had used the method.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know it, but Hermann Goldstein, who was the first chairman of the Department of Mathematical Sciences here, and he was also director of the mathematics project at the Institute for Advanced mm-hmm. Study. He was the man who hired me for that job.
Mm-hmm.
he was writing a book on the history, and he found it in a book by Gauss, which was written in classical Latin, so therefore it didn't get much, there weren't too many readers,
mm-hmm.
and not many people knew about it, but he told me about it, and I couldn't read it myself, but I could see the formulas. That there was, he had this idea of factoring n, and he was using it.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, again, n wasn't very big then right. either.
Well, that's
so wrote another history paper, and finally someone, and oh my goodness, what was his name? This name is important, and if we revise this, I'll look it up and tell you what it is, and we'll put it in this notes later, okay? Mm-hmm. Jim, he was a student of Don Johnson at Rice University,
mm-hmm.
and I might mention Sidney Burris too. He did a lot of work on this. But he wrote a history which he described Gauss in the early FFT.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. His name may come to me. Okay, that was it. I had to get the name of Gauss in here.
Yeah.
To say that.
Well, the Gauss story really says something about how ideas need
Heidelberg,
their time.
Heidelberg was the
name. Ah, okay.
Heidemann was the name. Heidemann, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote this book. He managed to get this thing read, or somebody. He could read it. He got somebody to read it. But he got a he made a translation of Gauss's paper.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is there, but of course it wasn't that useful since N wasn't big.
Right.
But he didn't manage to find ways of using it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, DSP committee.
Right.